The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated, because you were a good seat swapper this morning.
All right. A reading from Numbers. From Mount Horeb, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Eden. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and they said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 107 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Gather them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Somewhere.
We loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door. Sent forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy.
Glory
to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness more rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Blessing of the animals. And I was on those old front steps out here, and there were dogs and cats, even a chicken. And I was fine with all that. I was giving each animal a personal blessing. And I turned around and was greeted with an armful of snake. Now, I'm not afraid of snakes on a one-to-one. So as soon as I realized and was told this is only one snake, and I figured out where his head was, I was comfortable with that snake, and they put it in my arms. You know, I'm not afraid on a one-to-one, but I really don't like the idea of snakes ganging up on me. I would not have gone to see that movie, Snakes on a Plane, for anything. I would have been standing right with those Israelites, complaining to Moses, do something about these horrible snakes. Our first reading today from the Hebrew Scriptures gives us this odd story about God's chosen people wandering and complaining, obeying and then disobeying God, and God's chosen leader, Moses. This is not the first time that we hear about the Israelites who complained and rebelled. In the course of their wandering for those 40 years in the wilderness, it was marked by one incident of disobedience after another. If Moses had put up a plaque that said, on this day, God's people complained, there would have been plaques littered not only in the closets and behind every bush in the desert. There would have been plaques everywhere, historical markers, because God's people complained all the time. At every place of rebellion and complaint, under each one of those historical markers, there was some consequence of the complaint. But the complaining only got worse, and the murmuring intensified. They didn't seem to learn from their lesson. And here we hear today one more story of a complaint. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, and there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Now, I think that's a rather odd complaint, because we know that God had provided food for his people in the desert. Manna, that miraculous food that now they're calling miserable, horrible food. They said there's no water, but we know that God provided water from a rock that Moses provided, led them to this water time after time when they complained about that. So here they are complaining that Moses brought them to this place where there's no food and no water. It's like a teenager in the kitchen. Refrigerator door open, pantry already scanned, looking in that refrigerator saying, there is no food in this house. And so we get another historical marker. Israel complained against God here. But this time there's a more of a dramatic response. The Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. Snakes everywhere. Like that scene in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. But the compassionate God relented, and he provided a most impressive response. Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. This historical marker looks different than all the rest. It's a bronze serpent mounted on a pole, and the people looked at it and lived. So try this out for an analogy about solutions to a problem. The solution to the problem in the book of Numbers was a serpent raised up on a pole, because the problem was serpents on the ground. Now, if we look at the gospel passage with that same analogy in mind, if the solution is a human raised up on a pole, Jesus Christ on the cross, then the problem is humans on the ground. That would be us. We suffer from the human condition, and it's only a human being who can bring us to life. And it's the divinity of Jesus Christ that makes that effect eternal. We look at Jesus and live, as the ancient Israelites looked at that bronze serpent lifted up on a pole and were cured from their poisonous bites. Sometimes I do quote other preachers and theologians in my sermons, and I always want to give them credit. So one of my favorite preachers to quote, or theologians to quote, is Charles Schultz. He wrote the Peanuts. So here's, Lucy is in the counseling booth, and she's talking to Charlie Brown. Discouraged again, huh? And Charlie sighs, and she says, "You know what your whole trouble is? The whole trouble with you, Charlie Brown, is that you're you." And he says, "Well, what in the world can I do about that?" And Lucy says, "I don't pretend to be able to give advice. I just point out the trouble." The symbol of Jesus on the cross indicates that the problem with us is us, and that Jesus is the solution. But that's not the end of it. Go back to Charles Schultz. Lucy says, "You know what the trouble with you is?" And Charlie says, "No, and I don't want to know." And he walks away. And Lucy yells at him, "The whole trouble with you is that you won't listen to what the whole trouble with you is." So the solution begins with listening. If you are the problem, you can't be the solution. The solution has to come from outside of yourself. We're creatures of our culture. And rather than admitting that I am the problem, we're more apt to blame poor choices or bad habits or circumstances. Now, I've lied, so I better stop lying. I cheated on my biology test, my spouse, my income tax. I cheated, so I better stop. I drive too fast. I better stop. Better watch myself. I'll try to do better from now on. Whatever the problem is defined as doing something bad, then the solution is to simply stop doing that bad thing. We then get the idea that we are in control of that, that we are that we are in masters of our own salvation. If salvation means nothing more than doing good deeds and avoiding bad, that kind of a solution doesn't need Jesus. Or if we do need Jesus, we simply use him as an example for doing right things. We ask, "What would Jesus do?" And then we try to model ourselves on that example. But in the end, that gives us a pretty watered-down idea of salvation. This focuses our attention on the things we do and simply ignores the truth that we are the problem, that we are sinful human beings, that we are covered with the snake bites of sin. Think again on that story from the Torah. We aren't told how it comes out. We aren't told if they had a Palestinian St. Patrick that drove all the snakes out of that wilderness land. But we do know that God provided life. God made a way for those who were bitten by those poisonous snakes to live. And if we continue with that analogy, Jesus lifted up on the cross doesn't take away our human sinfulness. But through him, God provides a way for those of us who are bitten, all of us humans, who are bitten by sin, to live eternally. The Son of Man must be lifted up that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is the first time in John's Gospel that we hear that phrase, eternal life. John uses it a lot. And every time he uses that phrase, eternal life, he puts it in the present tense, like give or have eternal life. Eternal life is something that believers have now. It begins now and it lasts forever. Eternal life is not a promise of something far in our future, far away and beyond us. It is now, living as a child of God. Eternal life is not something held in abeyance for some time in the future. It begins in the believer's present. We have eternal life. We have looked upon the cross and believe in Jesus Christ, who was lifted up on that cross. Knowing that we cannot save ourselves, we look to that cross where we find our only solution. We come to that historical marker that is raised over us as a sign of our healing, our hope, a sign of our eternal life. There is a cross, literally, on top of our building and our new entry. Bill made that happen. This cross on the top of our entry that tells that we are people who walk in the shadow of that cross. Now, I'm not going to be so bold as to say that we have built a historical marker, but our new entry, and in fact, this whole restoration and renovation project does proclaim a truth, that all are welcome here. It does proclaim that all are welcome to hear the good news, to share in God's mission and ministry, to share in the fellowship, to proclaim God's love to all the world. Thanks be to God for the completion of this portion of the project. Thanks be to God for the builders and architects, the craftsmen, the committee members, the congregation, the donors, and especially for those who prayed daily in regards to this All Are Welcome program. Toward the end of the service, we'll join our prayers and ask God's blessing on the new space and on each of us as we go out to live what we believe, that everyone who believes has eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that all are welcome to hear the good news in this place. Amen.